It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome here to another edition of Affected by Altitude. Had to remember the name for a second because this is part of Rocky Mountain Rooftop, a Rockies podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host here on this gloomy, snowy morning here in southern Colorado. I'm Skylar Timmons and joined here by Evan Lang. How's the weather in Boulder?
I haven't looked outside yet.
Live on air, Evan's going to go with us a weather report.
I don't know. Would that get us more listeners if I did weekly weather catch-ups?
I doubt that.
Allegedly, it is 38 degrees and raining.
Gross.
Yeah, it was raining last night. It was raining pretty hard on my way back from Denver. I was down in Denver seeing Lewis Black live at the Paramount. Really cool. But on our way back, it was raining a lot.
How much spit do you think was spewed?
Not that much.
How close to a heart attack would you say he was?
Pretty close. I mean, he said it at one point.
If there's anybody that's ever going to just have a rage-induced heart attack on stage, it's going to be Lewis Black.
I don't know. He was talking about how both of his parents lived to be over 100.
Were they screaming all the time?
I have no idea. It was a very good show, though. I enjoyed it a great deal.
But that's nice. I called basketball games. High school basketball. Fun stuff.
It's how much money do you make betting on those high school basketball games?
I owe the state $30,000.
Uh-oh. Well, you heard it here, folks. Buy a shirt.
Please, I'm in so much debt from betting on the high school games I call. Oh, goodness. I've never done a sports bet in my life, and I probably never will.
I have lost every single sports bet I have ever placed in my entire life.
It's just not worth it to me.
Granted, for me, I'm using all the, it's all the free money that you get when you sign up, so.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, but I've still lost every single one. Last night on the Denver Nuggets game, I placed a bet that Nikola Jokic was going to go 30-10-10, 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and he went 27-22-12.
Yeah, too hard to predict that stuff. But then there's those folks that are savvy at it, and good for them.
And I'm not one of them.
Yeah. But
the only bet that I am confident in is that the Rockies are going to win more than 59.5 games in 2024.
We can only hope. I think so, too, though. 63. But speaking of gambles, Evan, should we talk about some baseball?
Nah.
Oh, all right. Well, see any good movies?
Started watching Masters of the Air, the Band of Brothers show about the Army Air Force in World War II. It's very good so far.
Apple TV or whatever?
It is on Apple TV.
See, it's just another streaming service that nobody wants.
Yeah, but my roommate already pays for it, so I don't have
to. There you go.
We have now meandered through about 5 minutes of this show without talking of anything of real significance.
You can be on the lookout for free Apple subscriptions during the season from the Apple TV games. There you go. There's our tie into baseball. But speaking of actual baseball and gambling, Rocky spring training invites. That's where we'll kick things off here. There's just been some, if you haven't noticed, if you're listening to this, and Evan, there's not a lot to talk about in the offseason when it comes to the Rockies. Turns out to be a lot of speculation. But hey, baseball, we're just a few weeks away from actual games, Evan. It's there. We can taste it on the tip of our tongue. It's right there. And part of that is the annual announcement of spring training invites. And Rockies released their list. I think it was about 26 players or so that they announced. But at Rockies Fest, Bud Black was like, they've got about like 66 players in total of non-roster invites, prospects, other guys that have been invited to camp or will be there at camp, and everything vying for spots and playing out. But we have an official list of guys that seem like, I don't know, to me it seems like guys that factored to be contributors at some point in 2024, or have that, I guess, potential is kind of the read I got from that list.
Yeah, it's a pretty good list. So there are 26 overall non-roster players invited to spring training. The fewest of which are the left-handed pitchers. We already knew Ty Block was going to be there. And then prospect pitchers, Carson Palmquist and Joe Brock. The right-handed pitchers is a bit more filled out with a decent mix of veterans and younger guys. We have Carl Kaufman, Jaden Hill, and Jeff Criswell. Returning to the Rockies is Matt Caricciti on a minor league deal, which is awesome, as well as Matt Cook. Some of the other minor league pickups we had over the offseason, Chance Adams, John Curtis, Jeff Hartlieb, and Kyle Wilcox. The catchers, we have Braxton Fulford, Willie McIver, and Drew Romo. For Romo, this is his second spring training, I believe, where he's been a non-roster invite.
Mm-hmm.
Infielders, we have Connor Kizer, Grant Levine, Ryan Ritter, which is a surprise to me, Aaron Shunk, and Alan Trejo. Outfielders, Jordan Beck, Benny Montgomery, Vladimir Restituyo, and Zach Veen. And on the utility side of things, Coco Montes and Sterling Thompson. So pretty overall, I think, well-rounded invite list. We've seen some people going, oh, well, what about Julio Carreras? What about Adele Amador? So they're coming to spring training anyway because they don't have to be non-roster invites. They're on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, I had that thought. I'm like, wait, is Amador on that? Oh, wait, he's on the 40-man. Having to do quick math.
Prospects that'll be at spring training as part of the 40-man roster, you're going to have Yankiel Fernandez. You're going to have Julio Carreras, Warming Bernabeu, and Adele Amador. Pitching-wise, my guess is that Riley Pint is going to be there, though he's not really much of a prospect anymore. Anthony Molina, Juan Mejia, and I think Evan Justice is going to be there as well. Yeah, because he's on the 40 still. And Angel Chavilli, mm-hmm. or Angel Chavilli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look in MLB Pipeline. 10 top 30 prospects in that list coming to spring training, and the number 4, number 5, number 6, number 8, number 9 prospects. So nearly half of your top 10 will be there. Probably the full top 10 is going to be there in big league camp, I would assume. And you got Joe Rock, number 16. Ryan Ritter comes at number 20. Number 21, Carson Palmquist, number 28. Aaron Shunk, and number 30, Jaden Hill. So plenty of guys in your top 30 prospects, according to MLB Pipeline. It can be exciting. And that's really what we can look forward to. The theme of 2024 is the year of the prospect, year of the rookie, kind of hoping. And good to see all these different names hopefully getting a fair look and assessment there in spring training. Whereas the Rockies, they don't really cycle their regular guys in very often. It like takes a little, usually takes about a week or so before they actually start getting into regular game action, don't they? Like yeah. Chris Bryant won't be there until like maybe like the fifth game.
It usually depends, honestly, on how guys are feeling. The veterans usually get a little bit more run of, you know, how they want to play it. So, like, you know, Charlie Blackman isn't going to be, like, pressured into early spring training action unless he really wants to. I'm willing to bet that they're all going to be there. So in terms of the overall date range, February 15th is the first workout for pitchers and catchers. February 20th is the first full squad workout. And then February 23rd is the first game of spring training. And I'm willing to bet everyone's going to be there at that point. It's just a matter of who's going to be playing or not.
Yeah. But looking at the non-roster invite, 26 guys, how many games, if this was the regular season roster, how many games do you think this team's winning of just this 26-man non-roster invitee list?
I mean,
how many games are they winning? More or less than the 2023 squad?
Probably less, just because a ton of these guys are guys who are scattered just throughout the minor league system. A bunch of them have no major league experience. The guys with major league experience on this roster are Ty Block, Chance Adams, Matt Caricetti. I think both Curtis and Hartlieb, Carl Kaufman, Matt Cook, and Kyle Wilcox. And then for the position players, it's really just Alan Trejo.
Hey, Connor Kizer played in a couple games.
And so did Coco Montes.
Yeah.
But I think throwing a bunch of guys from Double A and High A into big league action, it's a bold strategy.
It's basically the plot of Major League. Hey, they went to the American League Championship Series, Evan.
They did.
Okay, build your lineup then. Who's your starting nine off this invite list?
Off the invite list, okay. Catcher, I'd probably pick Romo at this point, just because he is our top catching prospect. First base, Grant Levine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do second base, Coco Montes. I'll do second base, Aaron Shunk. Shortstop, Alan Trejo. Third base, Sterling Thompson. And then in the outfield, I would have from left to right, let's do Zach Veen, Benny Montgomery, Jordan Beck.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd swap out and I'd put Ryan Ritter at shortstop for me for the most part. And then, it doesn't really matter. I think Aaron Shunk or Alan Trejo can handle second base for me.
So could Coco Montes.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why Coco's
guys
that
are more than capable.
Yeah. But yeah. It's like, or I'll throw in the wild card and just put Sterling Thompson at short or at second, but he can handle third base. I think that's his main position at the moment.
He can do second base as well and play some outfield.
Yeah.
So Sterling, if you don't have him in the lineup, you'd have him as your super utility guy.
Because, you know, on paper, you could do worse if you had to make a roster out of these guys. Your rotation is probably going to be not great.
Yeah, the rotation is tough.
You're going to be lefty heavy. I think I'd have Block and Palmquist and Rock.
Yes.
And then it comes down to like Jeff Criswell.
I would probably go ahead and do Criswell and then probably Jaden Hill or Carl Kaufman. Hmm. There's some rumors that the Rockies are interested in having Jaden Hill be more of a bullpen guy right now.
I think so too. And I think that's a better move for him because with all the arm injuries he's dealt with, and he looked good in Arizona Fall League, closing out games, like take advantage of that late innings, like works out.
I think there is still a chance that he can be a big league starter, but there needs to be some building up still that needs to be done with all the time he's missed due to injury. And there are some pitches I think he needs to add, but he still has a lot of great potential. Like Jaden Hill, I think we're going to be really happy with him no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And there are some guys on this non-catcher invite list who are probably going to have big league appearances out of the bullpen. I guarantee you we're going to see Matt Caricciuti at some point. Same with Matt Cook. I think Matt Cook actually has a pretty solid chance to make the opening day roster with how useful he was to the team last year. He ended up eating a lot of innings and actually was really solid for the first hot minute where he was with the big league team last year. But, you know, we saw the same thing that happened to everybody else in that bullpen. It's just the amount of work that they were doing. Eventually, the performances are going to start going down.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big thing. I keep telling everybody, it's like, on paper, the Rockies are not demonstrably worse this year than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how they're actually going to do.
They're not much better than they were. But they didn't get worse.
But the big thing is if that rotation is going to be able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're looking at this non-roster invite list. We could do a lot worse than some of the guys on this list, definitely.
It's a lot of good depth. And I think the big one, you know, that also has a really strong chance of making the opening day bullpen spot is that John Curtis. No, but before some injuries, had a really solid year back in 2020. So, you know, it's that typical Rockies thing. If we want you to do something, get back to what you were 4 years ago. Can you do that again? But no, when he was healthy, oh, and he was able to turn in some time last year, wasn't mind-blowingly great, but still solid. You know, some opportunity there. And so there's some bullpen guys that have an idea.
Oh, yeah. And like I mentioned Matt Caricciuti. Matt Caricciuti was perfectly solid with us in Major League action last year and was really a good presence down in AAA Albuquerque. He's a good veteran presence. He works a lot and is sort of like a mentor and coaching kind of guy. I like Matt Caricciuti a lot, and so I'm happy to see that he is back for another spring training. And you know, John Curtis is interesting just to expound a little more on him. Is like he's been around the block. He's been a major leaguer since 2017. Ironically, the first team that drafted him out of high school was the Rockies. He was a 30th round draft pick back in 2011.
Come on. What are we doing? Why do we keep doing this, Evan? The Rockies, move on. Move on. They're like stalking their ex-girlfriend or their crush in high school. And like, oh, is she single yet? Oh, is she out of this relationship? Like, no. Move on.
Following them all on Facebook. Oh, well, John Curtis didn't return our calls in the 2011 draft. Well, look who's come crawling back.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to announce that that scout that they hired. I was waiting for them to announce that they tried to hire him out of high school. Like, we've been interested in him since high school. Type of thing. This old man, like, it's a bit at this point. Like, what are we doing?
I will say we should probably talk about that a little bit. Is that the Rockies hired a scout from the Minnesota Twins organization?
Worthy enough to get a Bob Nightingale tweet.
John Milos, I think his name is. It's a very well-respected scout out of the Twins organization. The Twins were trying to cut costs and terminated this guy's contract. And the Rockies swooped in and picked this guy up. And honestly, great, because they've picked up a guy for scouting who has no history with the Rockies and is coming from outside of the organization. That's something we've said all the time, is the Rockies need to be looking at guys from outside of this organization to get unique outside perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a great hire. I really like that hire. But then you turn around and you see what the Rockies are doing. And like so many of these guys are guys that the Rockies have either had previously or thought about having previously. I mean, that was the whole thing about Chris Bryant, is like that Bill Smith loved Chris Bryant and they wanted to draft him, but he just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Same with Nolan Jones. We liked him out of high school. Some of these pitchers they traded for at the deadline. We liked these guys out of high school and college. Oh, it's so it's, I can't help but laugh at that at this point. But
it's a very Rockies thing to do.
Such is. But before we move on here, Any snubs that you feel that, you know, you're surprised you didn't see on this initial list? There may be guys that get some action later in spring training, but anybody you're surprised? For me, it's Chase Dolander.
I was going to say the same. I'm surprised that Chase Dolander is not at spring training. I do understand, however, that I don't believe Chase pitched at all with the Rockies organization last year. They let him rest after the end of the college season and the draft. So they probably want to get his legs underneath him in terms of professional baseball right now.
Yeah.
My guess is, though, because we keep hearing this organization talk about, you know, how much closer they think Dolander is to the bigs than a lot of their other pitching prospects, I'm really curious to see when he starts getting into game spring. Because, you know, as you get later into spring training, you start seeing some of the other guys who weren't non-roster invites or anything like that get a little more playing time. I think we will see Chase during spring training.
Oh, yeah.
But then the question is where he is going to be assigned to start. If they really want to be gutsy, they could put him in like Double A Hartford right away.
I see him starting in Fresno for like April, make a couple starts, and then move up and, you know, jump up to Spokane. I think he's going to go that natural progression, but it might be a little more rapid. Like, oh, he spends a month in Fresno in April, and then he spends May in Spokane, and halfway into June. Okay, now we're moving you up to Double A because we've shuffled the roster up and down. I could see that happening.
My genuine guess, though, is that if he does start in an A-level ball, he's going to skip Low A entirely. We've seen that happen plenty of times where higher-ranked prospects are put right into High A Spokane, and I think he's going to follow, like you said, I think it's going to be the Gabriel Hughes style progression where they're going to like get him up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And hopefully we maybe see him in the spring breakout game against Arizona. Hopefully he can make a later start. Like Gabriel Hughes last year, when he made that start in spring training, you're like, this is legit.
Okay.
Like, this is fire against the Dodgers. Like, heck yeah. Give me more of this. And he looked good. And you're like, okay, let me get some optimism here. And I think that's going to be the goal with spring training, with the prospects on the roster. Jordan Beck, Zach Veen, Sterling Thompson, guys like that. And I'll throw Palmquist and Rock in there too. Some of these prospects, it's to help build optimism for the team moving into the future and give them some like more options and things to think about. Okay, maybe Zach Veen can crack the opening day roster with us. Maybe Thompson is a lot closer, and maybe he should be up here sometime soon. Same with Amador, who's already on the 40-man. If he's doing really good, maybe we can strike a deal to send Brendan Rodgers somewhere, and Amador's ready to take over type of thing. I think he'll start in AAA, but optimism, I think, is the name of the game. Build some optimism for the team. Because, Evan, I think we both agree, we're tired of just feeling down about the Rockies all the time. And, like, I want to be happy about something. That's not Todd Helton going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely.
But should be exciting. Spring training, just a couple weeks away. Interesting names on this list and plenty to watch in the coming weeks.
I do want to say I love how he gets basically a whole paragraph about how Ty Block is a Denver native and graduate of Regent Jesuit. His team sure do love their local boys.
Yep. I'm sure they probably liked him out of high school too.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's really funny how many of these guys that we have are from Colorado. Oh, you know what? Actually, there is another name that I'm surprised I don't see on here. It's Case Williams.
Yeah. There's a ton more. There's a bunch more names here. Like, why aren't that? They didn't get an invite.
The more I sit here looking at it and like scrolling through the Rockies 40 man, the more I'm starting to pick out. It's like, hold on,
where's this dude? And he said, I think this is their initial list. There'll be more.
Oh, for sure.
In the coming weeks. But the initial list, you're like, all right, this team on that 26 man invites, they could win 59 games. Meh.
I somehow think they would still be better than the soon-to-be homeless Oakland Athletics.
The homeless Athletics. But the Nomad Athletics?
We have no idea. That's the thing. We have no idea where they're going to be.
The next. John Fisher's Major Screw-Up Athletics. Anyways.
Brought to you by Major League Baseball.
Brought to you by Major League Baseball. But we'll take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about coaching, minor league coaching staff. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Affected by Altitude.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. I'm Skyler. That's Evan. Talked about spring training invites. And now we move on to the other minor league stuff. Evan, they finally announced the coaching staffs for all of the minor league affiliates, plus the player development staff for the organization. And there's a slew of changes. Not a bunch of wholesale changes, but just kind of like plugging in places. In Albuquerque, they swapped out for a new bench coach in Michael Ryan, who is the Double A Tennessee manager. Otherwise, everybody else is returning. Pedro Lopez, manager. Jordan Pacheco's back as the hitting coach. Chris Mikulek is back as the pitching coach. Down in Double A had the...
Yeah,
them and High A had the most changes.
Double A has a ton of changes. The big one is that Kristen Ofria is no longer the manager of the Hartford Yard Goats. He has been promoted to the major league staff as the outfield and base running coordinator.
Yeah, so he's gonna.
That's
he's
a really cool out. Move for him, though. It's sad to see him not managing Hartford anymore because I really liked him as the skipper down there.
Yeah.
But then a huge congratulations to the former bench coach of the Albuquerque Isotopes, Bobby Meacham, who is now the manager down in Hartford. He's bringing in pitching coach Dan Meyer and hitting coach Zach Osborne, and a new physical performance coach in Ryan Hurston. Mm-hmm. So a lot of changes in Double A Hartford, but really excited for Bobby Meacham. This is a cool opportunity for him.
Yeah, and I was initially looking at the list. I was like, where's Chris D'Onofrio? He's now going to have an overseer of all that outfield and base running throughout the player development system coordinator. So that's going to be cool. And hopefully you can see some more of that influence throughout the organization and really... hopefully seeing we can get more Brenton Doyle's, more Nolan Jones type of defense from the entire organization.
Yeah. And shout out to, it's a minor one that people don't really think about, but shout out to Daniel Kleinholz, who was promoted from the minor league clubhouse and equipment manager to the coordinator of minor league operations for the organizational staff.
There you go.
It's a pretty big jump. Not a whole lot of changes on the overall organizational staff. Some small changes in title, like Doug Bernier is now listed as the fielding coordinator instead of the defensive coordinator. But I'm pretty sure that's basically the same position.
Yeah.
D'Onofrio is the outfield and base running coordinator. There's a new minor league clubhouse and equipment manager at Salt River Fields taking over for Daniel Kleinholz. That's Aaron Hahn. And then that's really about it on the big league staff. And we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it's the same as we are not really expecting any changes on the Rockies' actual coaching staff either.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. This, when you look at the player development staff, not bad. Chris Forbes has got a good little system underneath him. It's like these kind of hirings, you don't care as, I wouldn't say not care as much as about, but like they're not as scrutinized, whereas, with the big league front office, that's where we're like, come on, quit being so insular. But like you're saying, some of those promotions, like that's fine. That type of stuff. Like these guys naturally working in the organization, they do well. They've been promoted to other roles. That's perfectly fine. They're not being promoted to GM at the moment and haven't been with the club for 30 years. That's a different story. But it's nice that they're able to find some work for, what's this guy's name? Tude Holton? Who's that guy?
Where is this?
He's a special assistant to the GM, Toad Halton?
I think it's pronounced Todie Helton.
Oh.
Like, I think you're not looking at the accent marks properly.
Is he related to that Hall of Famer that just went in?
Probably not. You know, a lot of people have similar names. There's eight billion people in the world. There's bound to be a couple repeats in spelling, right?
there's no relation. But no, it's nice. Helton's back along with Clint Hurdle. Keep doing their thing. Mm-hmm. I think those two together especially are really, one, happy to work together. And for them to be working with the system is really nice. And I think they're joking, doing a lot though, of good work.
During Rocky's Fest, how sick do you think Clint Hurdle is about fielding questions about Todd Helton? Because all the panels he was at, he would get a ton of Todd Helton questions. And I get it because, you know, he was Todd's skip for a good chunk of time. But it was just really funny to me. Like, I was loving it. It's like, ask me questions about me. Come on.
I can do. I know things too.
They're a really good combination there.
Yeah.
I really also like that Scott Oberg is back as an assistant for player development and scouting, along with Jerry Weinstein and Marcel Lachman. I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
Lachman?
Is it Lachman?
Marcel Lachman. And there's Dustin Garneau's back as a catching and game planning coordinator.
I was a big fan of that hire after Garneau retired because it's really funny. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We talked about this with the Jacob Stalling signing as well, that the Rockies have a type when it comes to their backup catchers. And it's the kind of guy that you can see going into a coaching role.
Yeah.
And that coaching role is what a lot of these guys are doing now. So like Drew Butera is a coach now. And, you know, we have all these guys where I really just think, I wonder if they are using their backup catcher role as a way to scout potential coaches to come into the organization.
Could be. It's a weird way to operate a position, but you do you. Because along with that, probably one of the more notable coaching hirings is Tony Walters as the bench coach for the Arizona Complex League. So he'll be back.
That is
joining the team in his first coaching gig.
We've talked about this a little bit already, but I really, really like bringing Tony Walters back into the organization. You know, you talk about Tony from when he was a player here. His nickname was Papers because he was always carrying around all these paper scouting reports and things like that. He was very much into like the research and planning of the game. He had a great relationship with the other pitchers on the team. Excellent clubhouse guy. Tony is, in my opinion, a natural coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to do fantastic. I'm so excited to have him.
And that's just the nature with, like, you're kind of saying, that's just catchers in general, I think, because, no, they are the general of the field. They command the defense. They're, like, the apex of the defense. They're calling the pitches. They're working with the pitchers. And so they're basically a pitching coach all the time. And so I think it's just a natural progression for catchers in general to make that leap to managing or to coaching. Now, what's his name? Yadier Molina has the sights on managing, and he's done in like the Caribbean series, never did it in the WBC, who was just hired as the Cleveland Guardians manager. Oh, a former catcher in Stephen Vogt. So I think it's a natural progression for catchers to make that move to coaching, because they're practically doing it their entire career, working with pitchers and the defense. And, oh, they have to figure out hitting, too. So they get that triple threat. They're doing everything.
And it is good to have, because, you know, your backup catcher doesn't really play that many games.
Yeah.
But you're essentially fielding an extra coach.
Yep. Pretty much.
And I think Elias Diaz has potential there as well, because Elias Diaz can call a good game, and he's very much a student of the game as well.
Oh yeah. Guaranteed. He has a coaching spot or something queued up when he retires with the Rockies. Like, it's it almost feels guaranteed at this point. But looking at the minor league staffs, though, let's count them off. Tony Walters, former Rocky player. You've got Scott Oberg, former Rocky player.
Excuse me.
Pedro Astacio is back as a special pitching coach down in the DSL. There's another one. Dustin Garneau. Jordan Pacheco. Todd Helton. Am I missing any? Was that about six former Rockies players are coaches now in the organization? And as coaches, workers, scouts, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's
keep it in the family.
You know, it's not. However, for this one, it's not that unusual.
Yeah,
like you look at other teams, and other teams have plenty of guys who, you know, used to play for them, move into coaching roles. Heck, the St. Louis Cardinals had offered Matt Holliday their bench coach role last year.
Yeah, and then Daniel Descalso now is their new bench coach, and Yachty works in the organization. And
which is legitimately, I think that's a great role for Daniel Descalso.
Yes.
I like Daniel Descalso. I do. But it's the same as, like, sometimes former players make very good coaches.
Yes. And it makes me like there's more players I hope that they, well, maybe in the future can find roles for, or at least I know they have them come in spring training, but like maybe find some more of those pitchers that were successful, like Aaron Cook. How much work would he ever be interested in it? Or Ubaldo Jimenez. Like, it always pains my heart to see Ubaldo is posting like he's doing stuff with the Orioles in the Dominican, visiting their academy. I'm like, oh, I want him to be doing stuff for the Rockies.
Yeah.
Come home, Ubaldo. Or like Tulowitzki, who's done coaching, or Matt Holliday, like that type of stuff. I'm like, man, or Cargo. No, Cargo's probably got better things to do. Other things to do, but no, keep tapping into that legacy where you can to get those influences of successful players or smart players who
look at how much we love having Vinny Castilla in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And we've said repeatedly that I think Cargo belongs in that clubhouse as a good high energy presence. But you know, you never know. Because yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out. Remember that we had Dante Bichette as a hitting coach for a couple of years.
Just the single season in 2013. And he did fine, and then he left because he wanted to go spend more time with his kids.
I'm still surprised that Jason Giambi was never a coach.
Yeah, he still hasn't. Is he a special assistant anywhere?
To Google.
What's Giambi doing? Man, if I was to get a hitting coach, I want Giambi.
My
golden thongs
typing.
For everybody.
Reaching around my microphone to type, I typed in Jason Fiambo.
Ah, yes, Jason Fiambo.
My favorite. All right. What do you do, Jason Giambi? Jason Giambi is 53 years old.
Nice. But yeah, it's just keep bringing in that influence where you can, if guys are open to it. Like Jordan Pacheco, done wonders down in Albuquerque. Like he's probably my favorite coach in the system, just because I know you can see the results of his influence and along with the other guys. But it's good stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know why I just like I spaced out there. It really is. When it comes to coaching, there are guys that you want to target, and they don't always have to be from within your organization, but you're always, at least on our end of things, Skyler, I feel like as we watch throughout the season, as we watch throughout the years, we go, that's a guy who could coach. That's a guy who could coach. That's a guy I want us to bring in as a coach. And that's how I felt about Tony Walters when he was, you know, sort of at the tail end of his career of like, you know, I want him back. I want him back as a coach.
Mm-hmm. And it's like after Charlie's done playing, like, is he going to be a special assistant as well type of thing? No, would that be something he'd be interested in doing in some capacity where he can, you know, check out minor leaguers, or check out some scouting in places from time to time. We'll see, but not too shabby with the coaching staff, especially we've had good coaching staffs in the minor leagues for the past several years now. Good to keep that continuity of just good quality coaching staffs down there and new guys that are coming in to bring some of that outside influence. Before we move on here, Rolando Garza was the Tampa Bay Rays pitching coordinator, and he's now the pitching coach down in Fresno.
So I like that move.
That's a get them early and get a pitching coach like that. Okay. No, maybe Chase Dolander starts there to work with him to just get and fix some things there, work on his tweaks of his mechanics that he was wanting to work on. Get him in at that ground floor and keeps going up good. Cause then you have the old Hartford pitching coach now down in Spokane. So you're just getting quality from the get-go in the pitching department.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Good stuff. But like you mentioned, we assume Major League coaching staff is going to be the same. I think for all purposes, that's what I'm running with, for better or for worse. I would have liked a new pitching coach. But it is what it is. But the question on our minds, Evan, is February 15th, pitchers and catchers reporting is coming up soon. Will Bud Black get his annual contract extension?
I honestly don't know. I feel like it would have happened already.
The Rockies are nothing but consistent. So they did it on the day pitchers and catchers reported the past two seasons. So I can't help but think we're going to get another one, his annual tradition, because he's on a rollover handshake agreement. It's your job until you don't want it anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which also seems to be the case with Bill Schmidt. It's yours until you don't want to do it.
But I wonder if they go, well, let's just wait till the end of this season and see how we're feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what it'd be. It's like the meeting right before spring training. And then they're like, do you want to keep doing this next year? And then Bud like, yeah, sure. Because I think they watched Moneyball, Eric, I'm thinking somebody else, Evan. I think they watched Moneyball in that scene where Art Howe comes up and he's like, it's hard to do what I do under the weight of a one-year contract. And then the Rockies probably watched that and like, oh, yeah, that's probably true. Let's give him a one-year extension.
Of course, always coming to the tape, always coming to it 20 years late.
Exactly. Art Howe used to be our bench coach. We liked him in high school. but yeah, so we'll see. And that'll be a further discussion later about just that prospect of getting a contract. But, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it once the time comes. But we'll take another quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about a potential breakout superstar for the Rockies that everybody seems to think is going to happen. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. Final segment coming up now with myself, Skylar Timmons, and Evan Lang, as has been the case this entire episode. What if we just swapped out at some point?
What do you mean? Switched?
We bring back Mark Wahlberg.
How you doing?
Oh, the video version flipping around. But moving along here as we close out the end. Nolan Jones, understandably, had a really good rookie season in 2022 or 2023. I wish it was 2022. 2023 had the highest B-War on the Rockies. Overall, probably by season's end, the best player, the most valuable Rocky. He was our most valuable Rocky in our end of season awards. But he's getting a lot of media attention, Evan. I think more and more at the national level. And a lot of people tabbing him as a potential breakout superstar. Guy ready to take that next leap forward in 2024. Which is, after the past couple of seasons, is really nice to hear on the national level.
Yeah, the nice thing about Nolan Jones is that he really is getting attention all over the place. It was great to see him, he placed fourth in National League Rookie of the Year voting, something that I'm still frustrated about because James Outman of the Dodgers took third, despite the fact that Nolan Jones was better in basically every single category and every single way. But the fact that he got fourth place in voting is still a major improvement, I think, over, you know, the years where we've had where, you know, the Rockies just, they're not even thought about in these kinds of awards. And you look at how, you know, I've stated, I think he would have been a Gold Glove finalist, if not potentially the winner for Gold Glove in left field because of that stupid inning stipulation where you have to have played a certain amount of innings at that position by a certain time frame. And you know, Nolan Jones has plenty of detractors online as well. Folks saying he won't be able to repeat. He's due for regression, that kind of thing. They point to his fairly high BABIP from last year, which was at 0.401. But if you look at his 2022 season with Cleveland, his rookie campaign, his BABIP was .358, which is really pretty solid still. And there's, of course, things that need to be ironed out with Nolan Jones's game, especially here in Colorado. His 43% ground ball rate, pretty high. I would like to see that go down, though. Of course, it's not as high as some of the other players on this team. And, you know, his strikeouts can always go down, but you can say the same thing for pretty much everybody. But Nolan Jones is, I do believe, if he can even have a season as good as he did in 2023, I think we can legitimately call him a star because he was excellent in 2023 and even underrated in 2023. You know, he had 4.3 WAR, wins above replacement, which led the team. And that really came out of nowhere because who were we all expecting to be the Rockies Rookie of the Year candidate if they had one?
It was going to be Ezekiel Tovar.
And Tovar didn't even get a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, versus.
He didn't get really any recognition at all.
He was a Gold Glove finalist, but.
Yeah, that was about it. But like another like top rookies from. It was like Anthony Volpe. You're like, wait, what? Whoop de doo if he hit 20 some odd home runs.
Yeah.
Dude hit 200.
And you have MLB doing their like top 10 by position. And Mike Petriello, I love Mike Petriello, but his top 10 shortstops for next year, he didn't list Ezekiel Tovar. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why not Tovar? His fielding is excellent. And he's like, well, he can't hit. But that's not true. He can. There needs to be improvement. Same with Brenton Doyle. In center field is he left Brenton Doyle off his center field list, despite the fact that Doyle is, you know, defensively the best center fielder in the league. But for Nolan Jones was what, MLB's third overall left fielder going into the 2024 season.
Yeah. And the fan vote put him like seventh or so, still in top 10. So he's getting that, I think, recognition more on the national level, which I think is going to be huge. And, you know, that's okay if people are like expecting the regression, but like, isn't it more fun to be hopeful about the player?
Yeah, be excited. I wrote time and time again last year, the tail end of the season, that the flashes that Nolan Jones are showing should have you excited. Like, you should be ready to have some fun with this instead of going, oh, we're going to regress. It's going to be bad. The Rockies are going to be bad.
Yeah, like, he can't repeat this. The 400, bad, that's going to come down. Like, yeah, probably. But don't be, I want to say, like, don't gloat about it type of thing if that does happen.
Yeah.
But, like, be hopeful about him. Be optimistic about him. And that's everybody, whatever. A player's assessment is all over the place for everybody. There's people I think are going to be bad that end up being better and vice versa. It happens. It's baseball. That's baseball. Buy your shirt, nice red shirt.
I said last night. Is that y'all, you know, that you can, even if the Rockies are bad, you can still like have fun and enjoy things, right?
No, Evan.
We all know the team is bad. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. The fans know it. The players know it. The coaches know it. The front office. We all know. We get it. But you can still have fun. You can still enjoy things. You can still go, oh man, Nolan Jones was great last year. I can't wait to watch him next year.
Yeah. And luckily there are plenty of fans that are like that. And I think the national media is helping build that optimism, because you're seeing, they're taking note of, I think Sean Casey mentioned on like a podcast or something, who was the hitting coach for the Yankees at the time the Yankees came to Denver. And he's like, one of the most exciting bats that I saw was Nolan Jones. Like, the dude is power, all this stuff, and just people heaping praise on Nolan Jones and being that surprised. I'm like, man, Cleveland could have used him this past season. He's the type of guy they need, but joke's on them. He's ours now. And I think it's nice to see him get that breakout potential. He could be our all-star representative. Totally could happen. Could be that next star, because what, he's like 26?
He's 25.
He's turning 26 soon?
He's about to turn 26. In about 100 days, he's going to be 26.
Yeah, so he's age 26 season. Plenty of time. Like, you can still get several good years out of him.
And it's what's exciting is that this is a guy who kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he was a top prospect in the Cleveland organization for a little bit, but he struggled with injuries and didn't really play that much in his rookie season. We trade him over here. We trade Juan Brito for him, and he's a star. He's a star in the making.
Yeah,
his personality is excellent. He does really well in front of the cameras, in front of the lights. He's fun to watch. His arm strength and fielding, like, Nolan Jones is in left field because he's got the speed and the range that makes it better for, because left field is fairly cavernous at Coors Field. That's why we move people over to right field, sort of later on in their career, because it's less range, because Coors outfield is so deep. But Nolan Jones would be just as fun to watch in right field because of that absolute cannon of an arm. Like, you remember Cargo in right field, where he would just throw an absolute nuke from the deepest part of right field. That's what Nolan Jones can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every part of his game is fun. His glove is fun. He's fun to watch because he can run really well. When he got that, he did the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And he did it in not that much time.
Yeah.
So imagine how good he could be now that he's got basically a full season under his belt of experience playing 150 games.
Yeah. And that's kind of the expectations I would set for him in the season is, one, staying healthy and playing as many games as you can. He has the capacity to play all 162. He probably won't, but it'll be close. But that's the number one, is be on the field. I think for me, make sure you keep your strikeouts in check, even showing more, I think, showing improvement across the board. And so it's, if your BABIP comes down a bit, is it still good? Is it still manageable? Is it still productive across the board? How are you? Is his walk numbers up? Are they close to league average or higher? Which I think they were last year. Strikeout numbers, are they more in line with league average, hovering around there? And how are his power numbers? How is, like you mentioned before, the ground balls, are those improving? I think for him and a lot of these other sophomore season players, it's just growth and consistency across the board and showing just growth. I think is the big thing for me, is just showing growth. Brenton Doyle, has he shown growth? Are you striking out less and getting on base more, getting more hits? Tovar, same thing. And those are my expectations for Jones to take that next step forward, along with some of these other sophomore players.
Yeah, and talking about that walk rate, is you're right, is that Nolan Jones's walk rate was above league average. You look at some of the guys that he has a better walk rate than, well, one of those is James Outman, but then you've got some really good hitters, like he's up there in terms of walk rate with guys like Paul Goldschmidt, Alex Bregman, and the guys who are above him in terms of walk rate are like the best of the best, like Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto, mm-hmm. and Max Muncy, Bryce Harper. So
good company.
Yeah, he's got really good company. You know who had a pretty bad walk rate in 2023? Is Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado has 6.7% walk rate.
Yeah. I think Nolan Jones sapped some of that Nolan power from Arenado, who had a down year.
He's reclaiming the title of Nolan being Nolan.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just, it's fun. It's fun. I'm excited to watch Nolan Jones.
Yeah. And the big thing I think will be the greatest indicator of how his season will go is, for a lot of these guys, can they make the adjustment with the new scouting reports? No, after this last season, teams will adjust. The league adjusts to them. He was really good on first pitches in that bat. Really good on 0-0 counts. How will he adjust to that? Because teams are then going to stop throwing him a pitch over the plate 0-0.
Yeah.
No, they're going to start wasting one in the dirt. Can he then make it a 1-1-0 count in those instances? And how will he... It's just adjusting to the league. Can they make the adjustment with the league to how they're going to get attacked?
Yeah.
And the same goes for the pitchers. Can they adjust to how they're going to attack guys?
I mean, heck, he wasn't just really good in 0-0 counts. He was the best in baseball on 0-0 counts with a 397 OPS plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to see then, like, think about when, the best players need to make those adjustments when they know that they're not going to get those same pitches. Think about when, Charlie Blackmon, when people realize that, this guy's actually a threat. We need to pitch to him differently.
Yeah.
And when he was able to make those adjustments after a little bit.
And when he didn't have the protection around him anymore, where he didn't have Story, he didn't have Arenado around him. It was just him. Look how you can start to see the decline in a lot of his attack and a lot of his approach and his numbers. One, from age, but also just he didn't have protection around him anymore. And so the league changed how they pitched to him, and he had to adjust to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, less power, but more walks.
Where it's like, oh, wow, this guy had an amazing rookie season. Well, now they've got film.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why sophomore slump is always a real thing for the rookies. But I think I have faith in Nolan Jones to be able to make those adjustments. He's already proven once he can make huge adjustments.
And, if he has a down year, you don't write him off entirely. Like, yeah. We've all made that same mistake before. After Trevor Story had his excellent rookie season, the next year he slumped a bit. He was not as good.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, he flashed in the pan. Maybe we should start someone else at shortstop. Maybe we should be starting Pat Valeka at shortstop and see what we've got in him. And you need to be patient.
Yeah. And I wrote about that early this last season. It was about Tovar and Montero. But, imagine if the Rockies had given up on Cargo in that first season he was with the Rockies, had given up on him because he wasn't hitting early in that season. Imagine the world the universe we live in, the timeline we'd live in, if the Rockies are like, this isn't working, we're going to move on.
Yeah, or even, imagine if the Rockies had given up on Charlie Blackmon in 2011, where he only had 102 plate appearances and had an OPS plus of 47.
And then broke his foot.
And then they go, nah.
Yeah, we're going to keep moving on. Well, we got Drew Stubbs. At some point, it'll click. And I think it clicked for Nolan Jones last season. And we just got to be patient. Especially this season, you can afford to be patient. If guys are struggling, it'll be concerning.
Yeah.
But don't write them off entirely.
You have to lose by being patient with your young players this coming season.
If Ryan McMahon is struggling mightily, that's when you're like, this isn't working.
Or, if Brendan Rodgers again doesn't play a full season due to injury.
Yeah, freak accident and breaks his... Who knows what?
Shatters his tibia.
Shatters his pelvis.
But for Nolan Jones, what makes me less worried about a sophomore slump for him is just looking back at his at-bats in 2023, he took some of the best at bats on this team.
Yeah.
Especially down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Like his September, his last month of the season, he was putting together some of the best at bats to watch. Mm-hmm. He was so good to watch.
Yeah. And I think a big thing too for him is that I just hope, like, hearing this no attention stuff doesn't like put any unneeded pressure on himself, that he can just repeat of, okay, I'm just going to go have fun and enjoy being here. Cause then when players make that decision and change that mindset, that's when they see that success and just let it go, go with the flow, have fun, be good people.
And, you know, I think that really is, I think that's a big part of his game, is that he seems to handle the spotlight really well.
Yeah.
Like at Rockies Fest, we talked a little about Rockies Fest last week. And by a little bit, we talked most of the episode about Rockies Fest, but
correction, you did for that second segment because you had a lot of fun.
I did. But Nolan Jones, like, he wasn't having any difficulty, like, with all the people asking him questions and talking to things. He was very smooth and easygoing. Mm-hmm. And that translates to how he plays on the field.
Yep.
Like, you look at the photos of him, and there's a lot of joy in that face when he's playing baseball. And I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. And especially when they're in a Rockies uniform, having fun playing baseball while as a Rocky.
That's unheard of.
Preposterous. Needs to be strictly business. This is a job. But
no,
it's exciting. And I have high hopes for him. And if he comes short of those hopes, we riot.
Outside of Nolan Jones, who are you the most excited for in
2024? I know it's probably not a popular opinion. I want a healthy full season. I'm excited about a healthy full season at first base for Chris Bryant.
Honestly, I agree.
Because
I wouldn't say he's the guy I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
But I think if he can play 100 games this year and put up some solid numbers at the plate, that's a very successful season.
I want more out of him. If he's playing first base, I expect more than 100 games. I don't want him dabbling in the outfield. Get that out of your mind, Bud Black. Get that out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. He doesn't play right field anymore. His body won't let him. He's fragile. He's a special boy. He's fragile. Keep him at first base.
Chris Bryant is a special boy.
He's a special boy. Don't you dare hurt my special boy. But I expect a good year out of him at first base. And people are like, there's not the production of a first baseman. I don't care. That's still in him. I think hopefully his body will let him compete.
We've also already argued that kind of argument of, oh, it's not the prototypical production of a first baseman,
yeah,
is stupid.
Yeah. One of that, not a prototypical, is in the Hall of Fame now. So, suck it. But what I was going to say is Cal Quantrill, I think, is, for me, the new acquisition. He's the one I'm most excited to see what he can do on the mound, because, one, he's also got another year of control. And so if he does well, you've got a guy that you can either trade away to open some room for your other guys, or you can hold on to him for next year. And that shores up your rotation next year.
Yeah, I really like the trade for him. It's a very, very low risk, high reward trade where we parted with a low A level catcher, Cody Hough, who I like, but you know, I think it was an excess goods at the time. And we pick up a guy who has a history of being good. If he's not good this year, you know, you didn't really give up that much for him. And if he is good, he's got another year of team control and you can figure some stuff out.
Yeah. And he's already been ingraining himself with the other pitchers. They've been working in Arizona, hanging out. Well, he was at the Avalanche game with the rest of the guys for Rockies Fest. So I think he's fully embraced coming to Colorado. And you hear from the other guys, like, yeah, he's a smart guy. He's ready to attack, you know, Coors Field and share his thoughts and figure out pitching a plan here. I think he's a good type of guy who could have a good year.
I say this not just because he's Canadian, but in terms of mindset, he really reminds me a lot of Jeff Francis.
Yeah, that's good.
Just like a really smart pitcher. Yeah. And I like Cal. I think he, you know, I didn't speak with him a ton, but he was very pleasant at Rockies Fest. I really like that. The two guys I am most excited for outside of Nolan Jones, I'm really, really excited to see the kinds of adjustments that Brenton Doyle and Ezekiel Tovar are going to be making going into their second full seasons.
Mm-hmm. Because they really need to make those adjustments.
But if they do, those are two incredibly special players. Like, we've already seen Brenton Doyle is a damn good center fielder. And we've said it time and time again, if he can get his bat up to at least being okay, which I think the potential is there because we watched him make those adjustments in real time. We watched him still hit 10 plus home runs, even though, you know, his hitting wasn't that stellar last year. He's got that potential in him. And it's the same for Tovar.
Mm-hmm.
Two incredibly talented defensive players where if they can get their bats up to par, oh boy, they're going to be special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A lot of those things, what ifs, if things pan out, Rockies can be better than we expect. We don't expect them to be World Series playoff contenders, but not a 100 loss team. At least, yeah. I hope not. That's my hope.
The goal for 2024 is don't lose 100 games. Build for the future.
Mm-hmm. And if you lose 100 games, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
But even if they do lose 100 games, so what?
It's at least a signal like, okay, we need to make some other changes.
Yes, and for this season, for 2024, after last season, the expectations are that low. Mm-hmm. Where I can go, I don't think they're going to lose 100 games again. But if they do, it's not surprising. And if they do, it's not the end of the world because we know that the rebuild has started.
Yes, I think that's the big thing.
It stinks. Like, it's not going to be fun if they lose 100 games again. I think we can all agree with that. But
maybe one day we can be the Orioles.
Yes. Or the Diamondbacks. Or the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
These are all teams that have had 100 lost seasons in their near past.
Yeah. Though the Rangers spent a ton of money, so I don't think that's in our cards.
True.
But excitement. We're always cautiously optimistic every time the season starts. Optimism finds a way of creeping into our hearts. And we believe in our special boy, Chris Bryant. At least I do.
He has special eyes.
He's a special boy who has special problems.
My brand.
His special eyes. But that'll do it here for this edition of not every Rocky ever. That's my other podcast. This is Affected by Altitude.
Smooth.
But as always, we appreciate you tuning in, sharing along with us, share it with your friends, follow us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts and platforms. New episodes every Monday. Our 100th episode spectacular is coming up soon. And we'll probably put out a mailbag for that. I think that'd be good for that. So send us those questions through Twitter or comments of the video, podcasts, on the article over at purplerow.com. And we would love to incorporate that. We have hopefully a special guest joining us for that 100th episode spectacular, Evan.
I've reached out to him and he's said he's going to put it on his calendar. So I think we should be good.
Yes, it should be good. It's not Todd Helton. We're just going to go ahead and say that. But it's his cousin, Toad Holton. Did that joke land? Should ask that after everyone. But Evan, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Threads at Evan_Lang27 and on Blue Sky at EvanLang27.bsky.social. Find me on Purple Row doing the Thursday rock piles, though I might be switching to Mondays. I'm still working on making that decision. In the meantime, you can also hit us up on YouTube and Twitter for Rocky Mountain Rooftop at Rocky Mountain Rooftop. That's at ROCKYMTN Rooftop. Skyler, where can the folks find you?
You can also find Rocky Mountain Rooftop on Instagram, though, unfortunately, we're both awful at using it. but we see it. But you can follow me on Twitter at @sideline_crowd and then write in Wednesday Rock Piles and find articles over at fansfirstsports.com. Doing all that good stuff. Well, I do declare, Evan, as you wave that fan on your face, we're absolutely positively having the vapors at the end of this episode. And so that'll do it here. I'm Skyler. That's Evan. Until next time.
I do declare farewell.
Fare thee well.
I may be just a simple old podcast host, but I do declare that them there Colorado Rockies are going to be playing some of that base head ball in the near future.
Farewell.
Hey, we said there might be a stupid impression in this episode. I had to deliver.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Bye, everybody.